The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's program is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from Kiplinger Personal Finance and also AARP Bulletin. Our first article appeared in the AARP Bulletin. It's titled, Rent or Buy? Make a Winning Financial Decision When You Move. Anne and Tracy Godfrey, both 78, have owned their two-story home in Golden Valley, Minnesota for nearly 40 years. Their garden is a source of pride and joy, but tending it, they say, is getting to be too much. We can't do it anymore, says Anne. They want to move, but also stay close to their friends, community, and doctors, so they've limited their search to nearby homes. What they haven't figured out is a question facing many older adults. Should we buy our next place or rent it? We're leaning towards owning, says Tracy, but renting may turn out to be a better option, Anne laughs. Every time I think I'm ready to decide, there's a big but. Selling the home you've lived in for decades can leave you with a pile of money at the closing, giving you the wherewithal to buy your next home with a hefty down payment or maybe even no mortgage at all. But that doesn't necessarily make it the right choice. Quality of life factors are important, and they're where you should start, says Aaron DiCarlo, founder of Massachusetts-based Dovetail Companies, which provides services to older adults facing major life transitions. How do you see yourself in the future, she asked. What's important to you? But if the finances of buying versus renting play a role in your housing choice, here are some tips for working through the decision. Think about your time frame. If you're in it for the short run, usually renting is better, says Daryl Fairweather, chief economist at Redfin, the online real estate brokerage company. In general, that means renting if you plan to stay less than 5 years. Why? When you buy, you're not just paying the home's price and perhaps committing to a mortgage. You're also typically on the hook for 2 to 5% of the purchase price in closing costs. And when you sell, you'll likely lose 8 to 10% of the sales price to transaction cost. In general, buying wins if your time horizon is 10 years or more. The longer you stay in the home, the more opportunity you have for that home to go up in value, says Fairweather. The longer you stay in the home, the better off you are financially. So you should ask yourself serious questions about changes in your health or your family situation that might require yet another move. The typical 65-year-old can expect to live about two more decades and has a 28% chance of spending 90 days or more in a nursing home, according to the Urban Institute. 15% of older adults will spend more than 2 years in one. And start by digging into homeowner finances. Separate from a mortgage, the average American homeowner spends almost $25,000 annually or more than $2,000 monthly on home expenses, according to Real Estate Witch, an industry publication. That number, up sharply in recent years, including property, taxes, insurance, repairs, and maintenance. Research can inform a budget plan. You can learn about property taxes from your real estate agent, as well as the main real estate platforms like Realtor.com, Zillow, and Redfin. County assessor or auditor websites offer public portals to look up current assessed value and tax bill by address. To get an idea of home insurance costs, you might call two or three local independent agents. Your monthly mortgage payment will depend on the home's cost, interest rate, length of the mortgage, and the size of your down payment. Over the long term, ownership also gives you the possibility of profiting from price appreciation. Home prices aren't guaranteed to rise, however, and as mentioned, transaction costs do cut into potential profits. Consider rental finances. Calculating monthly cost is much easier for renters. Add up your monthly rent, utilities, and renter's insurance. Rents have risen 5.1% on an annualized basis over the past 5 years, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, though hikes have slowed since 2023. The cost of renter's insurance, which covers personal property but not structures, has increased 2.9% annually. As for the long-term financial consequences, unlike a fixed-rate mortgage payment, your rent could rise year after year. But assuming you have cash left over from the sale of your home, you'd keep more of it than you would if you had used it on a down payment for a purchase. You could set it aside for other purposes, perhaps putting it in the bank or investing it in hopes of getting higher returns. Either way, you'd have less of your wealth tied up in real estate. One of the main benefits of renting and having liquid cash is diversification, says Kristen Fors, a research fellow at the Independent Institute in Oakland, California. Mind the gap. Before making any final comparisons between renting and buying, research local conditions and estimate your down payment on any purchase. Right now, on average, renting is usually cheaper, according to Redfin. That estimate reflects that most rental stock consists of apartments, while most homes for sale are single-family houses. It's also a function of mortgage rates, which have risen above 6% in recent years. If the choice is an apartment rental versus a condominium purchase, more of an apples-to-apples comparison, the numbers are different. Among mid-priced properties as of March, the typical monthly apartment rent is $1,757, while the typical condo mortgage payment is $1,698, reports Zillow. By Zillow's calculations, which assume a 20% down payment on purchases and a 6.18% mortgage rate, a 30-year fixed rate, but they don't include maintenance, taxes, or insurance, rents exceed mortgage payments in the 39 of the top 50 U.S. metropolitan areas. If you're rolling over the profits from a home sale into a new purchase, your mortgage bill could be even lower. For example, if you make a $150,000 down payment on Zillow's typical condo, your monthly payment would drop nearly $500 to $1,206. The less you borrow, the less you're going to be paying in interest, and the less expensive it's going to be to buy that home, Fairweather says. To dig deeper into the finances of your housing decision, you can check out AARP's Rent versus Buy Home Calculator. In order to find that, you can go to aarp.org/calculators and click on Personal Finance. Well, here's another interesting article that appeared in the AARP Bulletin. 99 Great Ways to Save, and it relates to online shopping. Online retailers are increasingly using data-powered dynamic pricing to adjust their prices, so it's up to shoppers to ensure they're getting the lowest ones possible. Here's some steps you can use to beat the algorithms. Hide your browser history. Retailers may bump up prices on items that you visit frequently, or they'll do so if they can see that you've recently shopped for similar merchandise. You can conceal such information from them by logging out of any retail accounts, browsing in incognito mode, and frequently clearing your browser's cookies, says Julie Ramhold, senior editor at the Daily Deals website, Deal News. And shop on Mondays. Many retailers tend to lower prices the most at the start of the week, with an average price drop of more than 21% among retailers repricing on a Monday, according to online data platform Decoto. The average discount by those retailers over the weekend, by comparison, is a little more than 8%. And always check price history. Camel can show you how the price of a product on Amazon compares with its price over the past few months. Tools like Honey and Google Shopping can do the same for other merchants. There's a misconception that if it's on sale, that's the best price, says Stephanie Carls, a retail analyst at the coupon and cashback offers website, Retail Me Not. Set up sell alerts. If you're willing to wait for a better price for an item, you can use tools like Keepa, Karma, and Slick Deals to keep an eye on it. They will alert you when they detect a price drop and when you can get a better deal when you buy, says budget consultant Andrea Warwich. In addition, sign up for retail newsletters and follow brands on social media to learn about site-wide promotional events. Ask for price adjustments. Consider keeping those sell alerts running even after you make a purchase. Many large retailers, including Home Depot, Kohl's, and Costco, will refund you the difference in what you spend if an item you ordered from their online site goes on sale at the same retailer for up to a month after your transaction. The rules vary by retailer and may exclude certain holiday sales. Check the customer service page on a retailer's website for instructions on how to submit a claim. And do the math on shipping. More than half of consumers prioritize free shipping over finding the best prices, and more than 8 in 10 said they would likely increase their spending to meet a retailer's free shipping threshold, according to a FedEx survey in 2024. Before you start adding items to your cart, check around to see if you can find the same product elsewhere for less, including the shipping. And lastly, take your time. Retailers have a variety of ways to encourage shoppers to make impulse purchases and pay less attention to the price. One key tactic is to ratchet up a sense of urgency to the listing. That's why it has become increasingly common to see retailers claiming that there are only two left and putting a countdown timer on deals. Don't fall for it. Those are just marketing tactics, says Vipin Porwal, founder and CEO of shopping rewards tool Smarty. Well, that's certainly good words of advice for all of us as we do our online shopping. And also, this article appeared in the AARP bulletin. It's titled Drugstore Grocery Deals: A Surprising Place to Save. It's tough to beat the convenience of drugstores for picking up some groceries. Many sell a wide variety of packaged foods and household goods, and nearly half of Americans live less than a mile away from one. But what is the cost of convenience, and is there a way to cut it down? My recent price check showed that although prices overall are more expensive than at the supermarket, you have many ways to slash your grocery bill at the drugstore. To get answers, I visited the local outpost of the country's two biggest drugstore chains, CVS and Walgreens. I then compared prices of more than a dozen brand name grocery items to those at my local supermarket, which is Stop and Shop. The two biggest surprises, Walgreens had slightly lower prices than the supermarket one-third of the time, but CVS and Walgreens offered their share of deals with markdowns as much as 40%. For example, I found Dunkin' Coffee K-Cup pods on sale at CVS for $19.99 versus $32.99 at the supermarket, a $13 savings. At Walgreens, I found Glad garbage bags on sale for $8.99 versus $12.49 at Stop and Shop, which is $3.50 cheaper. Sales are just the start. Here are strategies to make your grocery dollar go even further. Number one, sign up for rewards. Both CVS and Walgreens have free loyalty programs with worthwhile perks, including special deals and store credits, aka CVS Extra Bucks Rewards and Walgreens Cash. CVS also has a paid tier for $5 a month, giving you a $10 monthly bonus reward and 20% off store brand health products that can pay for itself if you're a frequent shopper. Members of the My Walgreens program, using its no annual fee credit card, can get extra cash back rewards on purchases. Number two, check apps and websites. In addition to promoting special sales, both chains offer generous coupons online. Simply tap or click to add them to your loyalty card. Taking the time to check online for special offers really does pay off. I recently activated a $5 coupon for Tide liquid detergent, which was on sale at CVS for $14.99, bringing the total to $9.99 versus $12.49, including a $3 digital coupon at the supermarket. And number three, strategize your buys. The best way to maximize your savings is to stack offers, says Kristen McGrath, senior editor at The Crazy Coupon Lady. In addition to combining manufacturer coupons with sales and loyalty rewards, you can use a rebate app like Ibotta or Fetch, and you might just get an item for free. Number four, try store brand items. A CVS rep told me the chain is expanding its Well Market line, which competes with Walgreens' Nice brand. Number five, read the fine print. Some deals come with strings attached. You may have to buy one to get one at a discount. Also check if you're required to buy the item online and pick it up in the store. Keep in mind that prices may be different online than they are in the store. And lastly, number six, stock up during post-season sales. Candy, decorations, cards, gifts, wrapping paper, and other items get marked down heavily after the holidays. Our next article appeared in Kiplinger Personal Finance. Choose a family phone plan. Use our guide to find a plan that meets each person's needs at the right price. Sharing a phone plan is cost-effective and convenient for families. When you have multiple lines on a single account, the cost per person is typically less than it would be if everyone had their own plan with the carrier. And in some cases, the more lines you have on the plan, the less you pay for each one. These plans aren't limited to family members who live in the same household. Your adult children or your parents may save money by being on your plan as well. And usually, people on a shared plan don't have to be related to one another. Roommates or friends, for example, may choose to join a plan together. The challenge is picking a plan that meets each person's needs for the best price. Some of your family members may use little data, while others stream music and video daily on the go. Below, we walk you through what you need to consider along with information on plans you may decide to use. These prices listed here are effective as of early February 2026. Network coverage and data. If your family members are spread out geographically, say because your children attend college in other states, you may need to evaluate the strength of a carrier's network coverage in each location. John Valesco, senior channel editor for phones at tech review website Tom's Guide, says that people who live in cities and suburbs probably won't have much of an issue because the majority of the major carriers offer 5G, fifth generation network coverage, the latest and fastest available in those areas. If any of your family members live in a rural part of the country, however, coverage may be spotty. To gauge coverage, Valesco recommends checking the maps on the major carriers' websites. AT&T, of course, you can reach it AT&T.com/maps/wireless coverage and T-Mobile.com/coverage/coverage map. And lastly, Verizon at verizon.com/coverage-map. Another factor to weigh is your family's data usage. To get an idea of how much data you typically consume, check the information about your account in your wireless carrier's app or look for cellular data usage in your phone settings. Keep in mind that when your devices are connected to Wi-Fi, whether it's at home, work, or elsewhere, you won't need to use cellular data. Plans that offer unlimited calls, text messaging, and data have become the foremost offerings from the major wireless carriers. But depending on the plan you pick, you may only get a certain amount of data at the fastest speeds each month after you surpass that threshold. The carrier slows your data, known as throttling, for the rest of the billing cycle. Or with some entry-level plans, the carrier may reduce speeds anytime the cellular network is busy, regardless of how much data you've used. For example, with the AT&T Unlimited Starter SL plan, that's $36 monthly per line for four lines, or the Verizon's My Plan Unlimited Welcome plan, and that's $25 monthly per line for four lines, data speeds slow during periods of heavy traffic on the network. Such plans may be a good fit if you and your family members don't use high-speed data often. Among plans that guarantee a limited amount of high-speed data before throttling are T-Mobile Essentials, that's $25 a month per line for four lines, and AT&T Unlimited Extra EL, that's $41 a month per line for four lines. The AT&T plan provides 75 gigabytes of high-speed data monthly. T-Mobile's plans include 50 gigabytes. If you or your family members use a moderate amount of data, say to scroll social media and stream a few TV shows weekly while on the cellular network, one of these plans may be preferable to you. Premium unlimited plans such as Verizon's My Plan Unlimited Ultimate, $50 a month per line for four lines, and T-Mobile's Experience Beyond plan, that's $54 monthly per line for four lines, gives you truly unlimited high-speed data. Premium plans may be the best option for those who use large amounts of network data for activities such as playing video games, streaming TV shows and movies frequently, or video conferencing with coworkers or friends. A premium plan may also be the best option if you or your family members regularly use your phones as a mobile hotspot. With a hotspot, you can get internet access on your other devices, say a laptop or tablet, via your phone's network connection. The Verizon and T-Mobile premium plans both offer unlimited hotspot usage, although speeds may be slowed after you surpass certain usage thresholds. For family members who have varying data needs, you may benefit from mixing and matching tiers on eligible unlimited family plans if your carrier lets you do it. With Verizon's My Plan offerings, for example, you could say, put some family members on the Premium Unlimited Ultimate Plan and others on the Basic Unlimited Welcome Plan. Similarly, AT&T allows you to select different tiers of its unlimited plans for each family member. Consider the alternatives. Plans from the big three wireless carriers aren't your only options. Mobile virtual network operators are wireless providers that piggyback on the networks of the large carriers, and they typically charge less for their plans. Plus, they often provide solid plans for light users who want to purchase small amounts of monthly data. Many of these plans don't have physical stores, however, which is a detriment if you prefer in-person services. Max McCaskill, senior staff writer at phone plan comparison website Whistle Out, recommends the family plans from Mint Mobile, which operates on a T-Mobile 5G network. You can choose the amount of data that you want for each line, with standard prices for 12 months of service ranging from $15 monthly for 5 gigabytes of data to $30 monthly for unlimited data. And under a recent promotion, the unlimited plan was just $15 monthly with an upfront payment for a year of service. Another one of those plans worth a look is Total Wireless, which runs on Verizon's 5G network. If you have four lines on the Total 5G Unlimited plan, you pay $27.50 monthly per line for unlimited high-speed data, and recently the plan also included a free six-month subscription to Disney Plus Premium. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and we certainly hope you'll listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.